corporate boardroom looks a little different than the average corporate ballroom, by the way, Helene, you know? I mean, it doesn't look like anybody else's boardroom.
I can only imagine that, Malcolm. I'm sure you have, like, a tiki lounge and, I don't know, weird...
You got it, girl. You got, my boardroom looks a little different here. And,
yeah, I know that already.
With my boardroom, you would find a Dr. Faye there. You'd find a Taz Thornton there. You'd find all of this walks of life there. You'd find all kinds of unique people in my boardroom. We'd be so,
not everyone is going to be the boss like you. That's going to want those voices. It's going to want to limit groupthink, you know. And that's the biggest problem. Is a lot of these, I wouldn't say boardrooms. I'm more familiar with politics, but I mean our political spectrum. It doesn't matter which side of the aisle you're on. It's all groupthink. It's getting a bunch of people around that all agree with what you agree, and no other different voices.
Well, you just said something really about the center needs to speak up more. And boy, I couldn't agree more with that statement, I have to tell you, because what's happening is too many silent voices are out there. And I'm talking about people in the middle of the program, because what's happening, the reason that is, friends, is this. The extremists have got the sound bites. The lunatics on the far left and the lunatics on the far right are the ones that are causing all they're stirring the soup. You understand? They're stirring the soup. They got everybody up in arms, and they're buying the media off, and they're doing all of this, and they're pointing the fingers. And back to Taz's point, I mean, Taz keeps accusing me of doing labeling stuff. You know, I'm getting tired. We're only in show episode number one, and I already got a guilty complex from Taz Thornton. Well, the big question on everyone's mind, it's a gender thing, or is it? World peace, religion, sex, money, politics, climate change, big business, big ideas, and big egos. Nothing is off limits. As I'm joined by some of the most accomplished and highly opinionated women from the far left, the far right, and the far reaches of the planet. This is Malcolm Out Loud, and you're listening to Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. Helene, when we ended season one at the very end here, we were on the mode of capitalism. And we had this big, big conversation, you remember, with Dr. Andrea Pennington and with Ava Armstrong and yourself, yes?
Yeah, it was wonderful.
And we were talking about the control of the mind, the free speech, all of this. But we were on a twist, and you were at a point at the end of that series, as I recall. And, and of course, I'll have to defend Andrea and Ava, because they're not here at the moment, but... You were on a mode of capitalism, sort of on a roll of really questioning capitalism's motives, maybe. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but there were some questions going on. You were trying to look for, and I really don't know what you were looking for, some sort of a happy medium, because you did say you weren't necessarily looking for socialism.
I think what I said was something along the lines of, with the brilliant minds we have on this planet, there is no way we cannot come up with something better.
So let's talk about that, because I'm really fascinated with what that means, okay?
Yes.
All right, so because in all of mankind, the closest we've come to our freedoms and to, again, back to the control of your mind, the space you're in, your money, is capitalism. I mean, so if it's not capitalism, what is it? Do you have any ideas, Helene, to what that would be? And what's wrong with capitalism? Maybe you should answer that first. What's wrong with capitalism?
Yes, I will. I think the way I'll talk into this, Malcolm, because, you know, I'm sitting here smiling behind the microphone because I'm so happy to be back. But let me smile my way into this one. My main problem is that we know by now, the year and time and age that we're in, we know that we have raped and depleted Mother Earth. We know the very, very smart people, the ones way smarter than myself, and there are loads of those. We know that financial growth doesn't work for us. As long as we focus on more financial growth, we're not going to go to a place that's going to be good for any of our kids or our grandkids or their kids if they even get to be here.
You're saying it's not the key to life. You're saying the money.
I'm saying it's not the key to survive. It's not the key to take care of this planet and of our civilization. So there is something about a smarter and better use of resources, there is something about switching from that old industrial mindset. The industrial mindset that is often characterized, if you look into a typical, at least in the Western world, mm-hmm. a typical boardroom, it'll be elderly white men, you know, and this industrial mindset is so old school, it's not working for us anymore.
All right.
Yeah.
So you're questioning the whole system at this point.
Let's say it's not as much questioning as it is wanting an upgrade, wanting to be much, much smarter and much, much broader.
Okay. Right.
I think focusing on just the money, the making, the capitalism. I mean, look where it's gotten us. We're not in a good place on the planet right now. So.
All right, let's throw that on the Barbie a moment for everybody to chew on, okay? And just take a yeah. step back a minute here. Now, ladies, you hear Helene throw that proposition out there. I want to just, I don't know who's going to take this. Let's throw it out to the whole group here, to the panel, and talk about who might, let's start with who agrees with Helene. Who agrees with her assessment right now that we need something else?
Yeah, Malcolm, this is Dr. Fay, and I totally agree with Helene. I believe that we have come to the place on our planet that many of us are feeling that same thing. There has to be a major shift, and we all have to play our part and not leave it up to the masters of the past. And she mentioned the white men in the boardroom, not leave it up to people behind closed doors, the suits and ties, but to be able to come together as a whole heart at some level.
In your boardroom, Dr. Fay, now you're successful in many, many ways as radio, television host, an author, inspirational speaker, ordained minister, underdog advocate, and as a Black American yourself, what would you like to see in the boardroom? A Black woman rather than a white man?
I just like to see people with good common sense. Regardless of...
Well, hold on now. Let's stop there. Now, what if the old white men have the most common sense? Should they be in the boardroom? I mean, let's talk about this. Hold on. Helene throws it out there, and I'm kind of tired of hearing this reverse racism stuff.
Yeah,
talk to
me,
Dr. Fay, because I'm not buying it.
Yeah. Well, I believe that we have to move past some of the things that have been set in motion. And whether it's the white man in the boardroom or the Black woman in the boardroom, I don't think that's the heart of our issue. I think the heart is our issue, and that we have placed the blame in the wrong places. I don't believe you can't legislate love. You can't legislate good common sense and decency, the stuff that your mama taught you, you know, treating people fairly, being respectful, loving, kind, forgiving, doing those things that's back to a place of human and God consciousness, that we can all connect at a very loving place. And I thank God for this space because it gives us the opportunity to do that and also to let the silent voices be heard. We have created a world in which it is stereotyping. It is making one group of people believe that all of a certain group of people have all of the power and all of the money. And it has seemed that way up until now, because I have been in multimedia for the last 10 years. I mean, you know, more than that, actually. And I've seen the changes taking place where the boardrooms are actually changing even as we speak. They're getting younger. They're getting more savvy. They're getting more diverse. Because the boardrooms that we knew, that we grew up with, are not the typical boardrooms anymore.
Well, no, they're not, Dr. Fay, because right now, women more than ever before are in corporate positions and leading roles in major corporations, finally. You see, took a lot of years to get there, but you're right in that sense. But then I like the way you framed that back, Dr. Fay, and you put that out there. But at the and I think some of that probably resonates with Helene. But let me go further here, because I want to get Jennifer and Taz to chime in here. And here's the thing, though, Helene, though. But there's a psychological reference point as to why you say the white men in the boardroom, which is bothersome to me as a white dude, an Anglo-Saxon. Really, my family comes from the UK. I mean, that's what people say, what country am I from? I mean, my ancestors have come from that part of the world where Taz is from. And, you know, we sort of have, let's be real, but we've become, I get the feeling, Taz, and Taz, you speak to this, please, a moment here. I get the feeling as a white man myself, we've become sort of, well, kind of the underclass. It's kind of pinned the tail on the donkey is kind of what it is for me. I'm getting a little fed up with it, quite frankly, Taz. I don't know.
Oh.
Well, tell me. Run with it. Tell me I'm all wet or what the hell's going on.
Oh, that's a tough one. Thanks for that one, Malcolm. I think we've got the same issue that I keep talking about over and over and over again. We are doing pin the tail on the donkey, but you're doing that by pointing that out in the first place. We're looking too much on what people's gender, color, religion, we're breaking down. We're using labels too much. We're not looking at the real issue. All the time, we're focused on the labels. We're not looking at what's going on underneath. I think it was, you know, Dr. Fay a moment ago said it's to do with the heart. And it absolutely is to do with the heart. You know, if you want to start talking about whether it's white men in boardrooms, hey, I'm going to get political for a little bit now. I could be really alienating half my UK audience here, but look at what's happening with the white woman in the at the top of the tree over in the UK at the minute. It's not about that. It's we've got to look deeper. We've
is
got
she,
to stop.
By the way, is she Margaret Thatcher version 2.0, or is she no, or is she something else?
I think she's a Sith Lord, but hey, that's
a Sith
me.
Lord, perfect.
Yeah,
okay.
No, Sith,
as in Star Wars. I think she's a Sith Lord. She's terrible.
So you're not a fan of her, huh?
You know, just this week they've had a vote to throw out any reference to animals having sentience. Anyway, that's another topic.
Another topic for another day. All right. So listen, I respect the fact that you, Taz, I love the fact that you always bring it back to a unity mode. You pick up on Dr. Fay, who also believes the same thing, who says, "Why are we doing that?" Now, let me set the record straight for you a moment, Taz, and Jennifer, see if you agree with me or don't agree with me. But let me say this. I don't look at any of those as differentiators. I look at what connects us as a people, not what divides us. I, in my entire life, in my entire existence, don't look at gender, ethnicity, or any part of it. I look at whatever the person is, and I vote accordingly, or I act accordingly, or
Absolutely.
I partake accordingly, and that's just me. But you say, well, but what if we don't shine a light and talk about some of these things, Taz? I mean, because they are in the general, they're in the vocabulary out there in the neighborhood. And if we don't talk about some of these things, and I've got to respond to Helene, who's the one, we're going to incriminate Helene. If anyone's going to take a hit here, it's going to be her. She's the one that pointed out the white man in the boardroom. It wasn't me.
And I'm ready to back it up.
She's ready for it.
Yeah, because you know what? I work in life transformation every single day. It's what I do. I help people change.
Right.
And if we don't acknowledge what reality is, we cannot facilitate any form of long-lasting real change. Mm-hmm. So this is the reality we have been living in for so many years, whether we wanted to or not. I'm not pinning no tail on no donkey, darling. Okay. There's no donkey in the room here.
I love it when she tells you off, Taz, Jennifer, Dr. Faye. When she tells you off, she always uses the word darling, by the way. So remember
no,
that.
My point with this is that this has been the system for a long time. And so I think it is crucial to acknowledge that this is what we have come up with up until now. And my point is exactly that we need full diversity. We need all sexual orientations, all colors, all religions, all, you know, we need everything in there. It's important because otherwise it does not represent our planet.
Yeah. Just to clarify for a moment, my point isn't that we shouldn't talk about it. It's that we need to go, and then what?
Thank you.
And what's next?
Thank you. Right. Thank you. I want to be like most of you when I grow up. So remember that, Taz, okay? As I said about Jenna, our other co-host, I want to be like you, Taz, when I grow up. In the meantime, let's go to my esteemed colleague here, Jennifer Breeden. Now, Jennifer...
Jennifer is on this.
Yeah, let's get Jennifer. Because Jennifer, here's the thing. I'm dying to see where you go with this now, because you've been hearing all this back and forth. But here's the thing. I hear my dear colleague here, Helene Phillipson. Okay, but and you know I get all of this, but we're still talking about capitalism. Let's bring it back to that moment, Jennifer, because she's looking for something else. That Dr. Fay actually she seconded that motion. And Taz, are we looking for, by the way, Taz, let's get your vote before Jennifer answers that. Do we need something more different than capitalism, or is capitalism still the winner here?
Oh, I think...
Put you on the spot.
I think it's middle ground. I don't think there's a right or a wrong. I think, again, we go left and we go right, and the real magic is somewhere in the middle.
Somewhere in the middle. Well, Jennifer, now I want to go to you and tell me here, what are we doing wrong here? What's the story? Is capitalism still alive and well? Is that the future of mankind, or is it as flawed as Helene and Dr. Fay are suggesting, perhaps?
Well, there's a couple levels of this answer here. You know, I love... pieces of what everyone said, because I love having these dialogues, these conversations. I wouldn't say that capitalism is well, I mean, you know, certainly alive. I wouldn't say, well, I think she's pretty injured right now, if we can call her a she, or maybe a he, as it may be. And pretty injured right now. And this, you know, I mean, we can all agree that money talks. It's talked in our political systems. It's talked in who gets elected. It's talked in whichever, you know, person has the most money. But it's also not coming from corporations. You know, a lot of the money in our political system, and economists will even agree, a lot of that's coming from, you know, the Saudis. You have certain people, other foreign governments and things like that. So it's coming from different senses. Now, coming down to the label part, I love that, because one of the things I hate the most, and whether that's in a capitalist society or not, is, you know, is this label. And I think in America, because I can only speak, you know, in what's happening in the United States, and I'm sure Dr. Fay in Arkansas will be with me on this, is that it's become so divided. We cannot talk about anything. My goodness, if somebody says, I'm a conservative, you're immediately labeled as probably being a racist and a bigot. Whereas if somebody says they're a liberal, they're going to be labeled as being antifada and violent against all police. And that's just not the case.
Well, as you might recall, in the final season of season one, the finale we called it, it was the control of your speech, the control of your mind, and the control of your money. And I'm not speaking about your spouse or your significant other, although they may be doing that. We're speaking of the bigger empire here. We're speaking of governments, but we're also speaking about big business. I think you can put the big in front of everything. Big business, big tech, big government. Big influence. Who really is controlling your speech, your mind, and your money? I would like you to meet here on this show today. You might remember this name. Helene Philipsen joins us back from Copenhagen, Denmark. Helene, and it's awesome. Good. She's co-producing this year with us to give us a hand there. And also, she is a co-host still, Helene. How you been doing?
Hey, I've been doing great, and I'm so happy to be back, Malcolm. I've missed you guys loads and loads.
Yeah, it's good to have you here with us. Also joining us on the show today is Jennifer Breeden. Jennifer is an attorney that specializes in international law, criminal law, and U.S. foreign policy. She's an expert in Middle East affairs and counterterrorism. And in addition to that, we have here Taz Thornton. She's a best-selling author, UK's number one inspirational breakthrough speaker. Dr. Faye Wilson is here. She's a radio, television, talk show host, an author, inspirational speaker, ordained minister, an underdog advocate. And of course, as I mentioned, Helene Philipsen. She was a Life, Liberty, and Pursuit Pleasure co-producer this season. She was co-host last year with us. And she's a life transformation specialist. She's based in Copenhagen, Denmark. She's also a terrific columnist, a weekly columnist on America Out Loud. And as you probably have noticed, friends, many of the extraordinary women from season one are on the platform now in some capacity. They have their own shows. They are columnists. They are involved in the conversation because, as we've stayed true to our word at the very top of America Out Loud, is let the silent voices be heard. And we call ourselves the vision of the voices here. And that's exactly what we're doing on life, liberty, and the pursuit of pleasure. We have a spectacular season of shows lined up and some great topics that will cover the spectrum of things that you can expect to see here. It'll be pretty hot again. I mean, we'll go political sometimes. We'll go in the bedroom on other times, and we'll come back to civility on other moments, huh? All the places we like to be. And we'll touch on all kinds of things in your life. And I think you'll walk away with a bit of joy in your step, hopefully, but also learn something. When I say learn something, it really is incredible with this group of women, and I call this the best of the best, the creme de la creme. So when you look around the planet and you see unique people doing unique things, trying to contribute to humanity in some way, shape, or form, these ladies all do exactly that. The Out Loud Perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutLoud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
We're able to have some real conversation, right?
Well, yeah, anti-groupthink, you know, it's like putting people that might have different opinions but respect each other's opinions. We'll listen to each other. We'll not disinvite people to Thanksgiving dinner for whatever their political difference is, you know, and that's what I love about this.
And that's what we're doing right here, friends, on Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure Season 2. And you hear us chiming in already here. We can't even wait till the music's done before we start talking here. So, again, as you're listening here to Jennifer Breeden, she's an attorney, again, specializing in international law. And I just want to introduce you to some of the co-hosts here on Season 1. Where do you meet all of these women? You're going to be blown away. Now, again, Jennifer is here in the States, up in the Milwaukee area by chance, just to let you know where people are. We always make a big thing of geography here, you know. So you know me, I come from Pluto, friends. So I'm beyond the geographical bounds of this planet. Taz Thornton is here from the UK. That is still part of planet Earth, Taz, by the way. Even though you love your prime minister, I know. But hey, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And Dr. Faye Wilson is here. She's you're still from the Arkansas area, aren't you, Dr. Faye?
I am from Arkansas, yes. Okay,
still there, all right. I didn't know if they threw you out there or not, but you're still there. Perfect. Okay. And she
let me back in 4 years ago.
I love it. She's a talk show host, author, inspirational speaker, ordained minister, and underdog advocate. And by the way, Taz is a best-selling author, UK's number one inspirational breakthrough speaker. And when you hear Taz tear me apart limb from limb and tell me not to be pointing fingers at anybody, you'll understand why she's so inspirational, right? And also, Helene Phillipson is here. She was a co-host last year on Life, Liberty, Season 1. She's the co-producer this year, along with Tamara El-Bayati, our producer on Season 1. We're just so excited to have Tamara with us and Helene, which will be helping us keep this show on the road. And if you know anything about Helene in Season 1, you know that she will keep you on the road or she'll kick your ass, either one. And she's done that to me plenty. So she's also a life transformation specialist, and she's out of Copenhagen, Denmark. So we've got it all covered here, friends. So listen, in this unique story we had, so we ended Season 1, ladies, in this crazy, crazy talk about the control of your speech, mind, and money. I want to jump it forward now. We talked about capitalism and all of that and trying to find this magic cube out there. I think for the record, I still believe that capitalism is the holy grail to... I'm not talking about money being greed now. Let me set this tone here. Human beings, we are a flawed species. We've been that way since the scene in the garden. Let me be clear, okay? Since that happened here, greed is a big factor in people and money and corporate boardrooms and situations. That's why you've got big government, you've got big business, you've got big tech, you've got all of this. But as Jennifer Breeden pointed out, Malcolm, we got to get the center, the real people to step up and to say something, make a difference, and not just have the extremists have the control of the conversation and the narrative. Because what's happened, Jennifer, is a lot of them have turned the conversation off. What's happened, I call it Middle America. But Taz, the same thing in the UK, it's the same thing there in Europe. The people with the smarts, the people who are working their tails off, the people who are, you know, growing their families and their businesses and their entrepreneurs and hard workers and corporate situations, these people are not being heard because they're too busy making it happen. Yep. But somehow the others have hijacked the whole damn situation. And I think that's part of the conversation here we want to have, Jennifer. So let's bring it forward now. I still think it's capitalism is it. I don't agree with Helene at all that there's some magic pill like Jack and the Beanstalk we can swallow and wake up tomorrow and there's going to be a beanstalk outside your window. I don't think it exists. I think she's been hanging around Dr. Faye too long already and they just started. Go ahead, Jennifer, tell me.
Well, you know, I mean, we are talking about the economic system, things like that. And so when it comes to capitalism, I think if, you know, to what Helene was saying, to her point, is to try to find a new alternative. It's not, you know, it's not saying that there's communism or socialism. But I think if the choices are anarchy or, you know, government run communist, socialist governments, I think that or economic systems, I think the capitalism certainly is the only answer right now. You know, you look just at the one point of competition alone. I mean, if you have government mandating all these things, you have government businesses, those are the ones you have to go to. It's just another form of a monopoly where people can take advantage of things, you know, basic necessities we need to buy to even start our small businesses or to support our families. And so, you know, with capitalism, at least there's this competition aspect there. You know, even today I was on the phone with Southwest Airlines and I made a comment about how a flight from Houston to Albuquerque was much more expensive than a flight from Houston to Atlanta. And just off the top of her head, the Southwest Airlines lady just said, well, yeah, that's just because more competition in Atlanta. And just that word competition denotes it's going to be more affordable, cheaper for families to be able to do things. And I think there hasn't been another system yet, or as you put, Malcolm, another eight ball magic cube economic system, mm-hmm. which would offer us the type of competition, thus allowing for there to be more affordable alternatives just in basic everyday purchases. You know, a loaf of bread, you know, as it's been in the Iranian regime, some of the Iranian people I've spoken to, a loaf of bread is still about $7 to $8. You know, how mm-hmm. can a family survive on that? And I think that's one of the things that it offers here. The issue is that with that is then being, you know, when it controls your society, when it controls everything that you hear, things that are put in your brain, how you're raised, then that's problematic if we can't control that. And I think there's this need to want to control that, to make people be more reasonable if the capitalist leaders are the ones that are kind of controlling our mindsets there.
The big question we need to really answer in this conversation today is who's really in control of our thoughts? And I want you all to think about this a moment. Who's in control of your thoughts, for real? Are you?
You are, Malcolm.
That means I'm in your head. That's kind of cool. Like,
you just listen. You're going off on the who's in control of our thoughts. Can we just back it up? Like, back it up. Like, just back two steps behind where you just were before. You mentioned my name and magic pill and beanstalk in the same sentence. I'm not sure I'm good with that, Malcolm, because you were coming from talking about the center, okay, and talking about the middle, like middle America, mm-hmm. middle the whole world. Let's mm-hmm. make this a global conversation, right? Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. the middle standing up right now, mm-hmm. if you ask me, the middle is enslaved by the way our capitalist system works. And that does not mean that I'm saying, oh, let's go communist or socialist, not at all. Mm-hmm. My point is we can do better. We can do smarter. We can go new paradigm. We can think way bigger. Now go ahead. Who controls
Helene, hold on. Before we throw it to Dr. Faye and Taz, I know I have a lot to say, but hold on a minute here. There's something we talked about in the final season of last year about that gallon of milk I was going to take from your refrigerator. Do you remember?
Yes, I do.
And you said you probably wouldn't like it if I went into your house and took your gallon of milk.
I'd probably chop off your hand.
You said that. You said you'd chop my hand off and a few other things you do to me, you said, but I can't pronounce them here on radio. Yeah.
Those things you just made up because you want them, but I'm not sure I ever actually said that. But
I knew you thought it because, as you say, come on, Helene.
Who's controlling the thoughts?
So I know. So here's
Malcolm. You're a man, so I know you're maybe not entirely.
Thanks for pointing that out, lady.
Go on.
Pointing that out. That's like a revolutionary thing today. But you're a man. Okay, cool. All right. So listen, Helene. I want to talk about that gallon of milk in a moment. But here's the thing about us, you and I. Now, just follow me a moment here because the others are going to have a lot to say in this. So here you go. Helene, you live in a society out there in Denmark, as I recall. Now, correct me on the numbers here. I don't want to say anything that's not correct. But I think about, 50, 60% of your dollars go to the government to distribute and take care of all your things like health care and other necessities of life. Is that correct? What is it, 50 or 60%?
No, it's between 40 and 50. So let's just make it 50.
Let's call it 50 because it is at least 50%. That's right.
And the more money you make, the more you get taxed.
So the more money you make, right, which is what it is here in the States. Sorry. All right, so 50% of your money goes to the government to do their thing. Now, in order to really be happy with that program, you have to like the people in power. You got to like big government. You got to trust them. Well, as Taz was saying a moment ago, she doesn't like the gal who's running the show out there. Probably doesn't trust her much either. Probably doesn't trust a lot of them in Parliament out there. But my question, Helene, is if you're given 50% of your money, aren't you entrusting your life and your future and your existence right now to a bunch of bureaucrats in a freaking room, whatever color they are or specie?
No, I think if I was giving 100%, that could be true. That would be true. That's why it's a democracy. We're very fond of our democracy over here. And as you may have noticed, we've been the happiest country in the world like a trillion times over. And there's a reason for
you
that.
You are a happy country and, for whatever reason. Yeah. But I think it's all the opium you run.
But yeah, it's that magic pill you're talking about. Yeah, right.
See, that beanstalk stuff.
In Afghanistan, they're not too happy there.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you for chiming in. I appreciate that. You know, he's a fierce one. The force is strong in this one. So, Malcolm, we
yes.
vote for the people that we believe in, that we agree with. And if the majority thinks something else, that's democracy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right? So a lot of people would look at Denmark and your government system and your society out there as more socialist than democracy. Now, ladies, chime in here a moment. I'm curious, Taz, Dr. Fay, Jennifer, when you think of Denmark as a whole and you think of really high, crazy taxes and they're paying in a big bulk of their money in, Do you think, does the first word to come to your mind, seriously, serious conversation now, does the first word to come to your mind democracy, or is it socialism, or is it something else? Tell me.
It's something else for me. We've long sat and looked at that part of the world and thought, you know, they're getting something right. There seems to be a high level of happiness. There seems to be a high level of cleaner living. And in a lot of ways, you know, from the feedback we get over here in the UK and the stuff we see in the news reports, it's My partner and I found ourselves nodding our heads quite a lot.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, Taz, for throwing me under the bus still.
Thanks,
I appreciate
Taz.
Your honesty. So, Dr. Fay, Jennifer.
Sorry.
You're spot on.
Yeah, you're just out there hunting for votes, Malcolm.
Exactly. So I'm running for dog catcher. Go ahead, Dr. Fay, talk to me.
Well, you know, considering that Denmark is a smaller country than the U.S., and I'm just thinking to myself, in a smaller place, don't people generally get along better than in people with more population? Isn't that just statistically the case? And then I think about the 50% taxes. What are you getting in exchange for that?
Right.
Yeah. What's the payoff for that? Because we have high taxes in the U.S. in our opinion, in my opinion. However, I can see that we have better roads. I can see that there are a lot of things that money is being used for. So I just have those thoughts, and maybe you can speak to those. I don't know. I've never been to Denmark. I've been to East Africa, West Africa, and I love my country. I love America, and I thank God for it. And I thank God for the opportunities that we do have here as entrepreneurs. I like the spirit of the entrepreneur and being able to create and being able to be a part of to make as much money as I want. And of course, pay taxes on it, but to have no limit.
I've always agreed with the capitalist structure. We need more competition. I do not trust our government over all 50 of the United States to institute laws that are going to be fair to us. We've tried to do that before. It hasn't worked, no matter what political party it is. And we do respect state rights. That's what makes the U.S. a little different, I would say, than from Denmark or Sweden, is that we do have 50 states that all have 50, you know, governors and rights. And some states want more power over the state laws than the federal government. Some states are okay with that.
Well, that's a big conversation going on right now, actually, here. You're so right, Jennifer, in that way. Taz, talk to me about Europe, please, as a whole, from your vantage point coming from the UK. Where do you see in this big conversation that Europe is at right now? I mean, the UK just, this is interesting now, the UK just recently voted out of the euro. So they're going to be doing their own road ahead. There's a lot happening in Europe right now. You've got a lot of problems with crime and terrorism is everywhere around the world, but it's very prominent in the UK. There's been a lot of issues there. Where do you see Europe right now moving here just ahead, Taz?
You see, that's a really difficult one, particularly when we talk Europe, because as you've just pointed out, we had the Brexit vote, and
right.
it would appear that we're leaving Europe, but nobody quite knows what's going on, because it seems to have been a bit of a dog's breakfast. Nobody quite knows what's happening and what the future holds.
Well, the people voted, dear. The people voted again.
The people voted, but again, yeah. There was so much misinformation out there, you know. Right. And this takes us off on an interesting tangent, but I think it is relevant. The amount of people I've spoken to who, for instance, voted out of Europe, but voted just on one point that wasn't really that relevant. The amount of people who voted out because they felt there was too much immigration. The amount of people who voted out because they believed everything they'd been told at face value in terms of the amount of money that would then go back into the healthcare system. Right, yeah. I think one of the big issues, whether we're talking capitalism across the world or just where we're going, is the fact that people aren't questioning enough. I think people find a political allegiance that fits for them. And a lot of the time, they don't even know what they're voting for. They just follow what their parents have done or what their peers have said.
Doesn't
and they don't
that
actually
just
know...
piss you off, Taz? I hate that.
They don't even know what the parties stand for. It's just, well, my parents have always been blue, or my parents have always been red, or, well, mine are kind of hippies and sometimes they'll go yellow or green. And they don't really know what they're voting for. So they just listen to either some guy down the pub or somebody they've heard speaking at a networking event.
Right.
And they're just... They vote based on just misinformation. Nobody knows the full picture. And of course, with something like Europe, it's very difficult because nobody knows what will happen. But there was so much BS out there that the left hand does not know what the right hand's doing.
Taz, part of the problem that we were seeing in the talking points of Europe was the open borders. That was kind of the killing point. Back to the Brexit, and which you hinted on immigration already, but was the open borders. Open borders have been the big hot button, correct, Taz? All through the UK, through the Europe.
Yes, they have, but then, you know, Brits expect to be able to go and settle anywhere else in Europe, and that's fine. How many European countries can you go to now where you're not immediately confronted with a centre that's full of Sid and Ethel's English burger bar? You know, we're quite happy to go over to other places in Europe and turn it into a little England, but we don't want Europeans over here. It's absolutely crazy.
Well, okay, sure. On its simplistic mode, I get that, Taz, that you say that. But Taz, with all due respect, that's not a simplistic mode conversation. What we're speaking about here, we're speaking about evil, and that's not the show for this today, but we are speaking about evil and we're speaking about jihad and terrorism within that community, which is the problem of the open borders and the immigration. It's not just, I want to take my thing and go to another country, Taz. There's some people running around trying to, you know, hurt other people, and that really is the game plan for some. No, that was the problem with the whole.
Yes, that is the problem. But again, we're just looking at the headlines. You know, for every headline blaming terrorism, you've got other headlines that may be a little bit more difficult to find that are asking, was that really terrorism, or is it just some kind of exploitative creation to take our eyes away from something else.
Right. Or it could be people with mental health problems as well. I mean, there are other things that are going on besides just that.
All kinds of things. All kinds of things.
There is. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutLoud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
If you thought you heard life, liberty, and the pursuit of pleasure, you are right. This is season 2, and we are back. The co-host on today's show is Jennifer Breeden, attorney, crime buster, foreign policy expert from the Midwest. It is Taz Thornton, best-selling author, spunky attitude, and hair color ambassador from Lincolnshire in the UK. It is Dr. Faye Wilson, Bible-licious underdog advocator and TV and radio show host from Arkansas. It is myself, Helena Philipson, Viking and specialist in beating emotional eating. And last, but definitely not least, it is Mr. Newsman himself. Straight out of Pluto with his dancing shoes is Malcolm Out Loud.
Dun, 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 dun.
So welcome back, yes. Now, Malcolm, you're talking about...
You know, I would almost hire you for a radio announcer. You did that so well, Miss Helena.
Yeah, well, you know, you kind of took me on as a co-host, so...
That's it.
Yeah, so we're talking about you grabbing that milk from my fridge and how I wouldn't feel particularly good about that. And I think it's a really, really interesting analogy because what that tells me, what I'm hearing you say is, would I be okay with you stealing my stuff?
Now, what if I needed the milk, Helene?
Yeah, see, and it's funny you say that, Malcolm. See, this shows that we are actually more connected than people might know.
Okay.
Because... there's always a different dimension to this, isn't there? There is always more than what meets the eye.
Okay.
Because I would be willing to share my milk with you. If you needed my milk, even if you broke into my house just to take the milk, not my jewelry, not my laptop, if you needed that milk, maybe your kids needed the milk.
Okay.
I don't know, you know, then I would give you my milk.
Okay, now let me ask you this.
Yes.
What if I was just, what if I didn't work because I didn't want to work? What if I was home sitting on the sofa? I was a bit of a drunken bum. I was drinking Budweiser all day. And because I had ambition.
Suddenly you felt like milk.
Well, I had no ambition. I spent the government money already on beer and booze and women. But I really still needed the milk for some purpose. I don't know. I probably needed more of the beer that you got in the fridge than the milk, but that's beside the point. But what
if stealing my Carlsberg?
Exactly. What if I really, what if I didn't earn it? Would you still give me the milk?
You know what? It's like walking down the street and you see a homeless person. I would rather give a dollar to every homeless person I meet and risk that five of them use it for something that I wouldn't be okay with, but that, you know, the two of them actually have a life-threatening need. And I know a dollar is a ridiculous amount, but you get the point. I would so much rather come from a good, you know, a place of good faith and good heart. I would so much rather share and risk that going to nothing than not sharing at all, Malcolm, because that's the place that I come from. Those are my values. So I think that when you, if you broke into my house to take my Carlsberg or my milk, you know, I don't think that I would have the time to find out if you had decided all those things you just mentioned.
Right.
You didn't want to work. You were just lazy. You spent it all on Coke and hose or whatever. You know, I don't know.
That's why you come from this place where you think capitalism is sort of flawed. You see, here's the problem. There are givers and takers. And this is how I was born and how I was raised. Different than what you think, Helene. I was not raised by a pack of wolves, by the way. Okay? I know you think that.
I don't know what's on Pluto, you know?
Right, exactly. Plutonian. Yeah. So, but you know, the bigger thing here is there are givers and takers in this world. Now, Dr. Faye, you can speak to this point a moment, please. I know you know the capitalist system. You understand you're a woman of faith. You understand what's happening in the big world. You understand that poverty exists, homelessness exists, things exist, and people who need milk exist. But there are givers and takers, Dr. Faye. There are those who habitually take. That's all they know how to do. And then there are those who give. But back to a system, if you want to give because you have more, and maybe I've got 3 gallons of milk, and I'm okay to give you a gallon, Dr. Faye, well, that's very generous of me. But if you come in and you force me to give you the milk just because you think I owe you the milk because you sat on your ass and did nothing for the last year and a half, I don't like the system. You understand?
Right.
Talk to me.
Right. Well, when I think about the many opportunities that we have in this country, that is inexcusable for anybody to sit on their butt who doesn't want to sit on their butt.
And when you say this country, that could be any country, by the way. That could be any country
because of the spirit of the creator, the spirit of the entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can remember 5 and 6 years old, I'm picking up pecans and selling berries.
That's right.
You know?
That's right. Selling, I was right on the side of you.
Selling old newspapers. I didn't know you couldn't sell old newspapers, but my grandmother had them, so I was selling them. So I know that there's opportunity all around us.
Amen.
If we open our eyes, we will see it. I agree that to feed a man is a good thing, but to teach him how to feed himself,
that's a beautiful
thing.
Yeah.
And
so what if we teach the guy to milk the cow, Dr. Faye, and we bring him to the back of the barn and make him work for the gallon of milk? How about that?
And he steals the cow.
Oh, man. He steals the cow. Now we got the federal authorities involved, ladies. Jennifer Taz, help us out here.
Yeah.
What do we do,
and
Jen?
I'm on it then. I mean, you know, if at that point he had taught himself to milk the cow and was stealing the cow to help his family at that point and didn't think he could ever afford the cow, so he had to steal it, I think as you know, in the legal sense, there's a way to have that dialogue to say, are you a first-time offender? Did you truly think you couldn't afford the cow to provide for your family? Can we give you, you know, a little bit of a tap on the wrist and to say, you stole this cow, let's pay restitution to its owner, and now you can keep it if you want and provide for your family after you've paid the proper restitution and done what you got to do. So, I mean, there's a sense in all of this where it's about teaching, but you know, it is so important, I think, just in the West alone, that there are so many different facets. You know, one of them alone is education. And so I'll never forget, I wanted to go to you know, going back to the UK with Taz, I wanted to go to this to Kingston University in this Kingston upon Thames town. It was a good university. I wanted to take a semester and study there. And the first thought of my mind, just being raised in the US, was, well, surely it's going to be $30,000, you know, or, you know, £20,000 to go there for, you know, one semester. And no, it was about $1,000, $1,500. And probably in Denmark, and Helene, please correct me if I'm wrong, but I know in Sweden, you know, Denmark, I'm sure that you're talking maybe free tuition or almost nothing, where these people can go get an education, whereas in the United States, I don't know how many people we have in hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt, because we still can't get our education system on board. This is why we don't trust any other system giving the government more power, more tax money to help things, because all we're seeing is university costs going up. You can't send your kids to college. Nobody can afford to do that without making sure your kids come out with six-figure debt. And we haven't seen our government take any steps to rectify that for just the regular everyday working
man. Jennifer, that is so well freaking said, I have to tell you. Really, you know, Helene, do you get free education there too, along with the free healthcare, is it?
Yeah, it seems like such a catch-22 for me, Malcolm, when I listen to you and Jennifer and Dr. Faye talk about the American system, because you want people to get educated. The people in power often don't want people to get educated, because education
well
is
well said. We agree with that, Helene.
Is power. Yeah. And education here is free. And check this out. We get paid to go to university. We get a government grant every month so that we don't have to also have, you can maybe have one part-time job, but you don't need to have 2-3 part-time jobs. And your parents don't need to make zero money, because otherwise only kids from wealthy families will go to university.
I want to be like you and I grow up, Helene, I'm telling you.
You know, that don't work. We know that everybody needs equal opportunities. You know, that doesn't mean you don't have to work your ass off. Of course you do. Mm-hmm. But the fact that, you know, when you turn 18, you finish high school, you go out, then you can get a government grant so you can put yourself through university. And that doesn't pay for the university education in this country, whether you want to be a plumber or a university professor or an attorney for the Danish prime minister. It is free.
Right.
Or whether it is 6 years or 2 years, you get a grant so that you can pay your food while you go to university.
Interesting.
You know?
I'll tell you, Taz, I hear that. Now, you're in a different position there a little bit. The UK is a little different because you're not in that same boat. You don't get all the free stuff there. I mean, the UK is more in line of, really, it's more in line of what we do here in the States.
Yeah, it is. It is.
I mean, we're a spitting image of each other. We're sisters and brothers here connected. I mean, we are part of the UK. It's where we came from, was the UK. We're just another experiment of the UK. That's all, Taz. And we're trying to do it a little differently here. But we're in the same philosophies, kind of. What do you think about this in the bigger conversation and context about, you know, the free health care, the free education? And, you know, and I hear Jennifer talk and some of the conversation here, and I love where Dr. Faye goes with this, because she's so sensible. She makes you sick because she's got so many smarts. She can talk from the left and the right, Dr. Faye can. So she's one of those unique people. Taz, where do you go with it? With the UK right now, what's your feelings on all this?
I think when we look at education, what's really fascinating with what Helen was saying is this whole idea that people are paid to be educated, whereas over here, I mean, there's pockets. I guess it's like it is with you. There are kind of pockets of mindset. There are those who can see the benefit of going off and getting a university education. You've got those who are more academic. You've got the massive raft in the middle, and right at the other extreme, you've got those who don't see the point in getting an education, who flunk out of everything, and their way out is to either go and have lots of kids and get council accommodation and maybe do a bit of checkout work at the supermarket, or just not do anything.
And Taz, let me say something to what you just said. And those are the people, Taz Thornton, I do not want to give my gallon of milk to.
Well, it's a really difficult one because you've got to look at why they're feeling that way in the first place.
Well, that's their damn problem. Figure it out. Go to a psychotherapist. Get help. It's not my problem.
Yeah, but they're not going to get a psychotherapist on the NHS over here. Then they won't know they need one. You know, if somebody's been brought up in this whole... It's the system that's wrong. Because if you've got people who can sit on benefits and earn more than they might get if they're going to get a job, and they haven't been given anything from childhood up to give them a sense
that's
of
what I'm saying, Taz.
Responsibility, then you've got to look at where that lies. Do you want to give them a gallon of milk? Well, I might want to entice them into an educational setting with a gallon of milk, yeah.
Well, you do that, and I just want to bring it back to milk the cow, but Dr. Faye says they'll steal the blessed cow.
Some of them might steal the blessed cow, so you got to look at why. You've got to look at educating them.
Because they're sick. They need help.
And who's going to give them that help, Malcolm?
They're not all sick. They just don't know any better.
Well, why is it my problem? I mean, what the hell am I supposed to do?
Because you said they need help. I think the whole point is to stop being so individualistic. I mean, come on, look at the country, look at the society as a whole, mm-hmm. look at the planet as a whole. What is it in our best interest to do? Not just me, my house, my garden, my car.
But Helene, there are habitual, listen, I'm happy to share whatever, but the point is there are habitual losers. People who continue to do bad stuff, the wrong stuff, they're never going to be right in their life. Should we allow them to bring society down and level the playing field?
Honestly, I don't think they'll bring society down and level the playing field. And secondly, I don't think that we, as regular, humble, flawed human mm-hmm. beings, have the power to decide that because you didn't have what I had when I grew up, or you're not equipped with the emotional capabilities that I am, then you're worthless. So you shouldn't be helped. We shouldn't support each other. It is not my problem to sustain your survival as well. You can just go die in the gutter. No, yeah.
And
I don't
believe
that.
Who says what's right or what's wrong in the first place? I mean, you've got it. If you look at it from the point of view of those families I was just talking about, the ones who are sitting on benefits and financially there's no benefit to them getting a job. In fact, they'd be worse off. Mm-hmm. You think, well, really, are they wrong or is the system just completely upside down? Surely that's the system that's broken.
Taz, which brings us back to the burly part, the system, you say, the system, the capitalism, the rest of it, I guess, huh? So you're saying
I gotta say, and I'm gonna jump in if I can. When we're talking about the system, I think I do agree with what Taz and Helene are saying, that it is the system's fault, but I also think it's a cycle, because I do agree with Malcolm on some points in this, and I think the system's fault that's perpetuated both ideologies. Mm-hmm. The ideology one of the person that you don't want to give your milk to, because all they're gonna do is sit there, they don't wanna work for it, they wanna keep racking up benefits. And also the person like Malcolm, who I totally agree with, and in a lot of ways. I've been like that. When I see certain things, I'll see somebody driving around a Mercedes using food stamps.
Right.
And the person like Malcolm says, I'm tired of giving my taxes.
The system
started with this welfare system, whereas you look at altruism, like what Helene was saying, mm-hmm. and even what Taz was saying, that's altruism, is saying, I'd rather give a dollar to everyone, knowing that a small percentage of that might go to booze if one person could be helped with that dollar. Because see, altruism from people, from humanity, from people mm-hmm. like you and I, who want to go out, do it either through the religious institution or the church, or just themselves on the streets, that's not going to promote this level of dependence on the government. Because when you get a government paycheck, you know that that's coming every single month.
Forget about it.
And you don't need to do anything. You don't know if it's going to come from this private institution or person that's going to help. And so we can be helpful and help these other
people.
Jennifer,
when are you running for political office so I can vote for you, please?
Let me know when. I want to vote for you too.
Jennifer, I'll be your campaign manager. campaign manager, okay?
I love when we create some more political parties. That's another problem. That's something I look at in Europe, and I like, you know, I don't know about in the UK, Taz, these days. I know you still said red and blue, and well, in your parents' case, yellow and green as well. But I don't know about in Denmark.
No, I'm a red
I think
and blue.
There's more parties.
Yeah. You know, you make a lot of sense. And I'll say this here. Here's what's funny about or interesting, maybe is a better word, in this whole conversation is. See, Helene already knows, my dear friend Helene, she already knows that I have a good heart, and she knows I would give the gallon of milk. She knows that, which is why we poke fun at this thing. I just want them to earn it, Helene, that's all. I just want them to earn it. I don't want the freeloaders freeloading for their entire life and existence. That's not so hard to understand, is it?
But what if their mind is controlled, Malcolm? What if they are enslaved by big business, by the society, and totally subdued to
mind control. Wait, no, I got an answer for you. then let's take all those people and give them a country somewhere and get them the hell away, because I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, we tried that right after the Second World War, and we're still battling the consequences
of
that.
Oh, dear.
You know, giving countries away, I'm talking
one
about.
One of the most interesting things, one of the other things I wanted to talk to you all about today, which we're going to bring into another episode now because we don't have time, was a very interesting article when we talked about big government, big business, big tech, and, you know, the control of your mind, your speech, your money, and all the kind of interesting things we're talking about here as we switch over now to season two. And the conversation here is a very interesting piece came across my desk, my life. I don't really have a desk. I don't do desk anymore. But more than 400 of the most popular sites that you're on, ladies, on the internet, are logging everything you type on your computer. Uh-huh. Listen to what I said. More than 400 of the most popular sites we're all using are logging everything we type in on our computers. You talk about big tech and big business and watching us. And who's in control? So the question I want you to be thinking about, who is in control of your thoughts today? Who is in control of your thoughts? That's a profound question. Do you formulate your own thoughts? And I only bring this up because I know, Taz, you talk a lot about being in control of yourself, taking control of your life. I mean, I know as an inspirational speaker, you talk about that. That's the fabric of who you are. I know what you say. And yet, you know darn well, Taz, there's a lot of people out there that are not in control of their own thoughts. They're being controlled by big media, big business, big tech, big government. Correct, Taz?
Absolutely. And big business needs to keep us in a certain state in order to continue making money.
Which is what somebody said on the show today. They want to keep us dumb and stupid. So let's leave it there. I like this global conversation that we're having. I like this bigger talk we're having for humanity. As I say, we want to advance humanity on America Out Loud. So I like this. I hope you do as well, and you'll tune in every day. 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time is the first run of the show. If you want to hear the latest, that's where to hear it. Okay? And as the season kicks off now, our season opener will be heard for the next couple of days. We then invite you in every day, 5 p.m. Set your watch to it or set your phone to it, or the alarm, or hopefully you'll have our app on Android or Apple. We also play the encore at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So it's an appointment radio, but 5 or 11, anywhere in the world. We have a major following in Europe and around the world, in Australia as well. So we invite you in there. And if you miss the show, 2 days later, you'll catch it on our podcast networks worldwide, America Out Loud. We say at the top of that site, let the silent voices be heard. And there's a reason we're saying that, friends. We bring it to you live every day. Jennifer Breeden, Taz Thornton, Dr. Faye Wilson, Helena Phillipson. This is Malcolm Out Loud. To be continued, friends.